Welcome to the Let's Talk BS podcast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Sophia, and we're coming to you live from the
757, where we discuss real estate,
culture, and current events.
Good morning, Sophia. How you doing?
Good morning, Brian. How are you today?
Doing great. I got a special guest with us today.
We do.
Yeah.
Round of applause.
Yeah. Clap a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You know, definitely. Got a good friend of mine, Lakeisha Branch. She's here today.
Welcome. Thank you both for having me.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming, making the time out of your busy schedule. Thank you.
Lakeisha, man, look, I'll tell you this, man. Out of every person I think I know, like, professionally, that's, like, outside of, like, real estate, because, you know, that's people, most people I deal with is, you know, within the real estate world. Man, Lakeisha be working her ass off. Lakeisha be working. Like, so.
How many hours you work a week?
Maybe about 65.
Oh, yeah, man. Goodness. Yeah, she built different, man. She built different. Oof.
That's why I need no support sleeping. You give me 30 minutes. Two, I can fall asleep.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, I remember we had, me and Lakeisha, we had lunch, like, a couple weeks ago, and she was kind of going through her day and telling me, like, how, you know, her day is. And I'm like, yo, that sounds crazy. Because I work hard, too. I got a lot going on, but I'm like, man, it's crazy, like, you know. But yeah, definitely glad to have Lakeisha here today.
Absolutely.
She's in the HR field, and so she's going to come by and, you know, just kind of chat, talk
she
to us a little
by.
Bit.
Or, she's
she came
here.
By. She's here, right?
Present.
Yeah, speaking in the past tense. Yeah. But she's here. She's going to share some information from that perspective for us. I know a lot of people out there are, you know, wanting to know maybe some things that they can do to better position themselves when it comes to, you know, employment or, you know, just, you know, what they currently are doing or what they can be doing to put them in better situations. So, you know, Lakeisha got a lot of gems for us. So that's why we got her here today.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So how's your week been?
Yeah, my week's been good, man. It's been good. Let me think. Last weekend, what did I do? Cinco de Mayo was last weekend.
Okay.
So I had my son, he had his football game, day one. So that was cool.
Yeah.
Then after that, we didn't really, we actually went, I have a cousin who just graduated from ODU with her master's, master's in education. And so she had like a graduation party at the Grain in Norfolk, downtown. And so that was pretty cool because they had like a brunch because the graduation was Friday night. And then the brunch was at like 10, 11 o'clock. So after the game, we went straight over there. And I've never been to their brunch before. And that brunch was actually really
good.
Was
it packed?
It was really packed.
Okay.
Yeah, because they had Wine
was
Fest
there a
was
line?
Right across
Did
the street.
Did y'all have a reservation type of thing? Or?
Yeah, we had a reservation.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Her boy, it was funny. Her boyfriend, he reached out to me because they're not, he's not from here. He's from Carolina.
Okay.
And, you know, long story short, my aunt, which is my cousin's mother, you know, they're still trying to, cause like, they're getting really serious. Like, you know, he's potentially going to, like, we thought he was actually going to propose at the graduation celebration. He didn't. But, you know, they're getting really serious. So he had reached out to me like, man, you know, I'm trying to make an impression on, you know, your cousin, man. Like, you know, what do I need to do to, you know, where do I need to go? Like, he was like kind of desperate, you know what I'm saying? And so we had reached out, like he had reached out to a couple of places and a lot of places were booked because it's, you know, starting being graduation season
absolutely.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of places are already kind of reserved or whatever. So we was able to land on the Grain and it worked out. I mean, it worked out a lot. You know, she's a Delta. So she had like a lot of her line sisters there, you know, in support, family.
Nice.
My uncle, which is her father, actually passed away last year. So he wasn't obviously able to be here, but, you know, it was a really good moment. She got emotional, you
Aww.
Know what I'm saying, you know, about graduating and everything. And she's actually got a job lined up this fall to go back to Carolina.
What
kinda,
part?
Greensboro.
Okay.
Yeah. Guilford County, you know, in the school district there. So I'm excited for it, man. So we had, you know, we kind of celebrated her graduating with her master's at ODU. And then Friday, we just did the Cinco de Mayo thing at the house.
Friday or Sunday?
Sunday. You're right.
Oh,
tripping.
Okay.
Sunday. Yeah, Sunday.
Ooh,
we did the Cinco.
Celebrated early.
Right. Yeah, Sunday. You know, look, you know how black folks, we always try to find a reason to celebrate.
Right.
So look, hey, look, Cinco de Mayo, you know? I was talking to one of my homeboys. He was like, yo, what do like Mexicans actually do on Cinco de Mayo? Because I feel like I don't really like see them celebrating Cinco de Mayo. Matter of fact, a fun fact, because my anniversary is the week before, is April 29th. I remember our honeymoon. When we got married, our honeymoon was to Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And so we actually were down in Mexico during Cinco de Mayo.
And how was it there?
They was chilling. It wasn't like, it was like a regular day. It wasn't nothing special, nothing going on at all. You know what I'm saying? So I
Isn't
was always.
Isn't that like their independence? What is?
I don't even think it's that. I think that's just like an Americanized holiday. I don't think it's nothing for real.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you know, Keisha? Do you know?
I
that?
Don't know.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was like their.
But I think it is an Americanized thing. I don't just know if it has the same value.
Okay.
But I don't want to speak out of turn. It may
Because that's what I was thinking.
I don't think they celebrate it.
Yeah.
The way everybody else celebrates.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I was like, I was talking, you know, to Brooke. We was like, yo, like, we're going to be down there in Mexico. Like, it was like, man, we go down there.
Y'all got me. Hold on, look.
Yeah, go ahead and Google it. Like, we was like, yeah, and we went out, like, the downtown area there in Mexico, and it was just, like, chilling. Like, it was nothing special going on. I'm thinking they're going to have, like, a parade or something going on, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, Cinco de Mayo, man, we just ordered. It's a Mexican spot right by our crib. We just ordered some food and some margaritas to go. And, you know, we did that thing at the house. And then the week's been cool, man. I played golf.
Okay, so Cinco de Mayo is celebrating Mexico's victory over the Second French Empire in the Battle of Pueblo in 1862. So it was okay. Some type of battle.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. I was by the line. I just wasn't on it, okay? I was hovering, you know?
Yeah. So, but yeah, this week, I would say, has been pretty good, too. Played golf with one of my buddies. The weather was pretty good this week.
Fun fact. Hold on, wait. I'm over here.
You're in Mexico
so
still, man?
Cinco de Mayo is not even a national holiday in Mexico.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, you just said that they didn't celebrate. I didn't know they didn't recognize it.
Well, think about it. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's my point. I'm like, because think about it. Like, if somebody that wasn't from America came on a American national holiday, they would be able to know that it's a holiday. Like, they would see the celebration. They would see something about it.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I was in Mexico during Cinco de Mayo.
And there was nothing.
And it was nothing. Like, it was nothing going on. It was like a regular, like, because we had been there for like a week. It was nothing going on that day. Yeah. But yeah, this week, like I said, play golf with one of my buddies, and I beat him, which was cool. you know, and this work, man, it's been grinding, you know? That's pretty much it. What about you, Sophia? What you been up to?
So, let me think. I feel like I did something on Friday, but I don't remember right now. But on Saturday, football game, and then my son, he actually got hurt fell. His nose started bleeding.
I don't know if you know, our sons play on the same football team.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. So, four of his teeth went into the inside of his lip. And so he was there, he was crying. And then, you know, we patched him up, and then he actually went back out on the field and played.
Yeah.
And it was shocking because, let me tell you, this boy in football, he's kind of like, he got a love-hate relationship with football. He likes playing it with us at home, but he don't like playing with them kids.
Yeah, it's different.
I've seen the podcast, so like the work that the effort that you all are doing at home is like showcasing through,
yeah.
showing through, okay?
Yeah, it's tough, yeah. man. It's tough. Yeah, I mean, my son is, I mean, he loves football, so he likes it. He's a little bit different than your son when it comes to that regard.
But it's different.
Like, their eyes are wide open, though, like, when it's like, you said, when you play with him at home versus, like, actually being out there on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, man, like, this is real. Like, it's like, it hit different.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. I think Carter's a little bit, because he's the smallest on the team, and I think he's probably one of the youngest out of the 5 to 7 age group range. And so he's a little intimidated because everybody's bigger than he is. But I told him, well, you're not going to be small forever.
Right.
Yeah. I told him one day you're going to be a grandpa. He looked at me like, what? He was like, nah, trying to be nobody's grandpa. And then on Sunday, we went to the shack to go and celebrate Cinco de Mayo. So we bought like... It was a taco tasting or something.
Taco Fest.
So you go, you buy tickets, and then you could try all the different vendors and food trucks who sold tacos. So that was
How was that? I heard a lot of people talking about that. Was that dope?
It was a lot of people there. I left, I swear the line was from, I think the shack is on 7th. Mm-hmm. I think the line was all the way like between 8th and 9th.
Are you serious?
Like it was long.
So how many food trucks? Are they in line for like this one food truck?
So you know how the shack is set up. So you got the building portion of it. Have you ever been to the shack?
No.
Yeah, it's not
okay,
an oceanfront.
So it's like an outdoor, indoor type of atmosphere. And so on one side, there is an actual building. Mm-hmm. And then in the middle... there's like a tiki hut type of thing. And then when you go to the back, there's grass. And then behind that, there's even more concrete. And they had like a little mini concert back there. And then the food trucks kind of wrapped around. And then they were also in kind of like little spots around the inside of the place. But it was actually, it was decent. I mean, people had, you know, every time there's some type of festival, people put their spin on stuff. I had a taco that was like a Korean style taco. And I was like, how? Like, how is this? I want to see what this is like. How do we eat a Korean style taco?
Yeah.
And it was not great. It was horrible.
For real. Yeah.
But then you had, I went to a taco truck that sold birria. They didn't have any birria. Mm. She told me that someone spilled all the liquid, and so all their tacos were dry. Mm. Yeah, it was different.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people. I seen a lot of people on social media talking about it. I got a couple of group chats I'm in with some of the fellas, and some of them talk about they were going out there. I know it was supposed to rain on Sunday, so they were like kind of iffy. And some of them had went to Wine Fest, and I guess they had drank too much at Wine Fest. So
yeah,
they were
like, man, I'm just gonna. Went up on Wine Fest,
yeah, they were like, man, I ain't gonna make it, you know. So, but yeah, that's what's up. I heard a lot of people was going, so that's dope. That's dope.
Do you live on this side?
No, I live in North Suffolk.
Oh, okay, okay, mm-hmm. Okay. You out there?
Yeah, she out in the boonies. Yeah.
Not too much.
Well, not too bad. Too not too bad. Suffolk. Yeah, North Suffolk isn't too bad. That's true. That's true. That's true.
When North you Suffolk. Say North is like, I don't know Suffolk that well. Where is North Suffolk?
Not like the Harborview area.
Oh,
so
okay,
like closer to
Chesapeake. Yeah, like Western Branch, like you know where Western Branch is.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
So like literally, you know, right after Western Branch has become Suffolk. Mm. So yeah, she's like in that North Suffolk area
okay.
over there.
That's considered
yeah.
North Suffolk. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, how was your week?
I'm trying to figure. Oh, my best friend came. She came. Flew up from Atlanta over the weekend. We're best friends. We met each other when we were four. Our daughters are now five, so they're actually 3 months apart.
Oh, sweet.
She and I are 3 months apart.
Did y'all plan that?
No, it did not. It was crazy, honestly. But we surprised them by her coming up here. And so we hung out the entire weekend. Both of my daughters play soccer. So my five-year-old plays soccer on Saturday. Then we have friends that support us a lot. So we also stayed and watched their son's game as well. Let me think. We went to brunch afterwards. And then on Sunday.
I seen the brunch footage on Instagram.
We celebrated Cinco de Mayo.
I seen the brunch footage on Instagram. She was having a good time. I said, shoot, I'm trying to go get some brunch.
We went to Swarrier Bistro. This is my first time going to it in Norfolk.
Okay.
I heard about a spot before. Yeah.
I made reservations and had some friends. And also, we're moms. So we kind of like paid my oldest daughter to watch the girls. And we went out. We went
outside.
Out and about.
How old is your oldest?
13.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. My oldest is 15.
Okay.
Yep, and I got an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old.
Oh, I love that.
The 5-year-old is the one who play football.
Okay, okay. Do the other two play sports?
Yeah, my oldest play volleyball.
Okay.
Yeah, and then my middle child, she likes soccer, but every time I ask her, like, what she wants to do, it's always indecisive. Mm-hmm. So right now we're in between sports. Look, we're dating.
Yeah.
That's funny. So how was the food that you said? What's the name of it? Swarrier
Bistro.
Yeah. How was it there? The brunch was it like a buffet type of style, or you like a sit down?
It's a sit down.
Okay.
Okay. I think the food was decent.
It was pretty good.
Yeah. The drinks were amazing.
Oh, I can tell.
We probably took it too far.
Yeah, I know.
But when you don't get out a lot, you probably take it too far every time. So, like, bring it on in. But actually, it was a really nice vibe. I liked the setup in there. And we had a good time. The DJ came. It was a really good time.
Oh, nice.
Where do you, like, I know, like you said, you don't get out that much. Mm-hmm. Like, with you living in North Suffolk, when you like, do you normally like venture to like the Harborview area? Is that kind of where you hang out as far as like getting food or stuff like that or grocery shopping? Or where do you normally go?
Yeah, actually, because Whitney being from Georgia, Publix is like our thing.
I was just about to say, you got Publix and stuff up now. Yeah. Look, grocery shopping, that's immediately what I thought of.
They just opened one in Virginia Beach in Red Mill, like 15 minutes from where
it's
I live.
It's open?
Yeah,
it opened. I didn't know that. I can't wait till
I think it was the first of May, I want to say, like maybe a week ago. Yeah.
Oh, I need to go in there.
Yeah.
But I was stalking Publix. When they gave us the flyers and saying it was coming, and because of where it's at, like that's deep stuff. I call it deep stuff. I drive 20 minutes to go grocery shopping at that Publix.
Man. Hey, sure. I drive longer than that.
That's what I reserve to go to Publix on that day. Mm-hmm. And hanging out-wise, we go like the first watch, but we really don't typically venture too far out of Suffolk.
Yeah.
Okay. North Suffolk specifically. And then if I want to like hang out with friends or something of that nature, we typically are on Granby. Norfolk.
Yeah, okay. Makes sense.
I rarely go to the beach.
Yeah, that makes sense. I hadn't been
I don't
to
really
Granby
go to the
beach
like that either.
Yeah, I mean, I actually go to the beach probably more often than like Granby. But when we went to the, like I said, my cousin's graduation party And then actually, I failed to mention on Sunday or Saturday, we also went to a fish fry. So my kids' school that they're getting ready to go to had like a welcoming fish fry from like 4 to 6 that evening. So when we left, Brooke and I, when we were coming back, it was in downtown. It was in the Ghent areas where the school is. So we were coming back through Granby, and I think Wine Fest had just ended. Man, it was so many people out there, man. Mm-hmm. It was, you couldn't even drive. Like, I mean, it was like, it was crazy. I hadn't been out there like in a while and seen like that amount of people, you know, walking around and hanging out or whatever. And it seems like it's totally different as far as like, I remember when I used to be out in Granby pretty frequently, like just like the restaurants and all that. Like, I feel like all that stuff looks different. Like, mm-hmm. everything looks different from what I remember just like maybe 5-6 years ago. So,
yeah.
But let's get into our guest today, Lakeisha. Me and her go back. I remember I met Lakeisha, shoot, how long ago was that? Like, what, 12 years ago? 12 years ago?
Maybe like 9.
9? Okay, yeah. Shoot. I'm getting old, man. My bad. All right, together. Yeah. I remember I met you.
Look, you got to equate it to where you were working.
Yeah.
Where were you working?
Where was I working? It was either Bank of America or Wells Fargo. It was one of the banks. Okay. I can't remember which one. But I think it was Bank of America at the time, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Because I met you at the Dollar Tree event,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
So I remember my buddy Kevin, his wife worked at Dollar Tree. And I remember it was funny, man. He was like, yo, Brian, he was like, you know, I'm married. He was like, but there's a lot of good looking women at Dollar Tree. Because I guess like he would go to his wife to their events.
I hope they're not still married.
They're still married. Oh. Yeah, they're still married. Yeah. No, I mean, he was just
business out there like that.
No, he just said, "Listen, look, see, look, y'all, like, you can't acknowledge somebody's a good looking person, right?" I was single. He was he was like, "Yo, B, he was like, you should come with me and my wife to like their family day or something. Mm-hmm. I think it was called." Yeah. And he was like, "You know, you might meet somebody."
Oh,
you know
what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that,
so
that
I,
sounds better.
Yeah, that's right. You didn't let me finish. So I go there and I'm just hanging out. And then I think she was cool, I guess, with you or with some friends, somebody. I can't remember exactly the dynamic of you all, but that's when I met Lakeisha. I think we started talking about real estate like right off the bat.
Okay.
And and that's when, you know, we met. So yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, Lakeisha, she's like I said, she works hard, man. She's the global talent. What is it? Global talent?
Global head of talent.
Global head of talent for Wayfair. I know I spent a lot of money ordering stuff on Wayfair.
I was just looking at
it. So I'm probably paying
at
least a little bit of your salary. Yeah. Just a little bit of your salary. I got French doors in my house that I ordered from Wayfair.
Oh, we love it.
Yeah. So, but yeah, we wanted her to come by today and just kind of talk about, you know, pretty much a lot of things, all HR. So, Sophia, you got a couple of questions you want to maybe ask her?
Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely get started. So, give us a description on like how you got to where you are now. Like, what was it like?
I would say I kind of started off actually in like procurement way back when. At that point in time, I graduated early from my undergrad. At that time,
where'd you graduate from?
Albany State University.
Okay, shout out. You got to shout out alma mater.
But I graduated right in the middle of like the recession, so in 2008. And what I planned to do at that point in time was I was going to go, like, master in real estate at Georgia State University as soon as I graduated. But then, like, the recession hit, and I was like, I don't necessarily know if real estate is going to be bumping with all of the stuff that was going on. So I just kind of got a job, took 6 months, got my aunt put me on to this job in procurement at Purdue Farms. I then got in my master's program. And the thing with my master's program from human resources is my mom, I always say this story, my mom is like the best employee, mm-hmm. the hardest working employee. But is she going to always follow the rules? Absolutely not. Nothing she looks at because I work so hard, I have so much tenure that I probably don't have, the rules don't necessarily apply to me. And so she went through a situation at work where I felt like at that point in time, because you take a HR course in the business department, I just don't necessarily know if it made sense of how they handled her situation. So actually, I finished my master's. The head engineer that I kind of reported, I supported his area. He knew that the lady in human resources was going to work for Target. And so he put in a good word for me without even me knowing and saying, you all should talk to her. I know she just finished her master's. And that's kind of what tipped me into getting into human resources. We're active duty military. So we got a PCS change here to 2013. We came here. I started working for Haynes Furniture Company, the dump off of Virginia Beach.
I remember that. Yep.
for a year as I actually got into HR as a recruiter, then went to an HRBP role. About a year after working for Hanes, right when I first started working for Hanes, Dollar Tree called me, but I was like, I just got here. I want to give it a year. And then after I gave it a year, I was like, well, let me reach back out to the people that reached out to me right. from Dollar Tree. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I went into recruiting there, got my professional in HR certification maybe a year later, and then I also went back to school for my MBA. Transitioned over into the employee relations field in human resources at Dollar Tree and was there for them for like 7 years. During that time frame, it was probably like every 2 years I was getting promoted.
Oh, nice.
So I got promoted to director around 2019 there. So I was heading up the Center of Excellence, like their employee relations function for the entire organization.
And locally here, I think, because this Dollar Tree is like the headquarters
it's
too,
the
right?
Headquarters. Yeah,
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 for Dollar
it's
Tree.
The headquarters.
Yeah, yeah.
So big job. Mm-hmm. But of course, during that time, it was the presidential election. It was COVID. It was also civil unrest. And so I call that kind of like the matrix of human resources. Everybody was dog tired.
Yeah.
And when I said I averaged probably about 65 hours, we literally was probably averaging about 80 hours during yeah. the
That's
entire
crazy.
Time of COVID.
Because during that time, you were probably trying to get in order the people who could work, who couldn't work, mm-hmm. what benefits they had, you know, all of it.
Over 15,000 yeah. retail locations in so many jurisdictions because we have North America, Canada. What states do allow masks? What states don't allow masks?
Mm-hmm.
All of those different regulations. But at the same time, my daughter was going into middle school. You know, that's the transformational year. She's already a military child.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm super sensitive to it. And so I transitioned. I was looking for something to transition. I purchased tested the market. The market responded well in 2021. And I had an interview with Wayfair and a couple of other tech companies. And they had extended offers. And Wayfair had just, like, really the best employee experience when it came to recruiting. I actually had an offer on the table from another company, and they called me while I was on spring break with my daughter, and I said, listen, I have an offer that I need to consider. If I go through the interview process, it has to happen quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably put me in the interview. I did 10 interviews in 2 days.
10 interviews?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
These are virtual interviews. I'm thinking
virtual
interviews.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Virtual interviews.
That's still a lot. Good gosh.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
I'm going to feel like after, like, the, I mean, I understand.
Third one, I mean,
yeah,
you're pretty much
know.
Repeating.
Yeah, yeah, you
like,
know.
Like, you're telling everybody that
yeah.
same story.
Like, you
trying
to convince them, like, I got to go on 10 dates to find out, like, you like me or not? Like, what's up?
Literally, I was thinking in my head, if they don't offer me a job, they better at least give me a gift card or
yeah.
something. Yeah. I feel like I'm putting in work.
Yeah, man.
But the recruiter actually called me at, like, 8:30. That night to extend an offer. Mm. And so just that level of rigor, that level of follow-up to say, hey, I see something in a candidate, we want to bring you back. And I actually interviewed for one role. They came back to me and said, we would like to offer this other role for you, other role to you that would not require you to move. Mm. You can remain remote. And I was just like, this is it.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is the magic. Mm-hmm. And I've been with them almost 3 years this month.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So how do you like working remote?
I love it.
Okay.
I love it. I
Some
travel
people
probably
don't.
Like every
That's why I asked.
Weeks.
Yeah.
Because when you was at Dollar Tree, did you had to you didn't work remote? You went in every day, right?
I went in every day, okay. But with the role that I was in, because I dealt with all escalations employee related. Like if they were super sensitive in nature, or depending upon what level was implicated in the investigation, I would travel. So I always
okay.
say like wherever something has messed up significantly
yeah.
is where I was going.
They would send you out there, too?
So
yeah.
I was
yeah.
in California.
Got you. California?
Yeah.
Cali, where the problems at, man?
That's where the problems are.
That's
no,
wild.
But I ask that because I know, like, I have conversations with different people and I always talk about remote work. And me, I love working remote. If I could stay in my house and work, I don't have to get dressed. I don't have to think about. Only time I have to like really get myself together is like if I'm getting on camera
yeah.
type of thing. I love that. But there's some people, like I have a cousin where she feels isolated. She feels like she needs to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And she would prefer to go into the office a few days a week. But then she also likes the option of being hybrid and working at home some days.
Mm-hmm.
But then you got some people who are like, nah, working from home, I'm completely distracted. Like, I'm not going to be on my computer. I'm not going to be disciplined to actually do the work. I'm going to be over here cooking, cleaning,
doing
everything
all but,
the chores
everything but
that,
work.
You know, you're supposed to do. So that's why I asked that question, because I know that everybody has a different opinion about it.
I actually like it. I think it has probably over the last 3 years probably turned into a hermit crab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I
a lot
like
of people,
the,
I mean, pandemic turned a lot
yeah.
of people into hermit
yeah.
crabs, I would say, too.
I like the flexibility of it. I also like the same thing that you just named out. I don't have to get dressed in the morning.
Yes.
And I'm cutting my camera on. I'm cutting it. Like, of course, I can have sweats on as long as my top and stuff
yeah.
like that.
That's what I was
going to
ask you. So, look. So, I think I feel like there's, I feel like, you know how you can, like, say a person's, like, you could tell a person by certain things they do,
uh-huh.
right? So, like, I'm gonna ask both of y'all this question. So if y'all like, you know, work from, because we work, pretty much work remotely as well, Sophia,
yeah,
right?
We do.
Yeah. So like, if you don't, if you're not on camera, right? Let's say you have, you know, that day for whatever reason, your meetings, you're not on camera. Like, are you like dressing, like putting clothes on, or are you just like wearing like just sweats or whatever, you just lounging in, like?
Wait, huh?
I guess my question is, are it, like you just said, right?
Yeah.
When you're working remotely, if you're working at, from home, are you, if you're not on camera, so if you're not in the need to be in front of a camera,
okay,
are you dressing or putting clothes on? Not like putting clothes on to like go out, but just like, you know, putting on something a little bit more presentable, or are you just kind of chilling like sweats and,
you
know,
I'll let you go first.
So we really have a on camera culture. So
gotcha.
Even though I'm remote, I'm on camera probably 8 hours out of day.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay.
Every day, like, I don't wear makeup every day. And
yeah.
So anytime I go in the office, I always have to struggle with this. Oh, my God, you look so different. I didn't even recognize that was you. I'm like, yeah. I'm not going to waste makeup sitting at home.
Yeah.
Expensive.
Yeah, it is. But, yes, because we have an in-office, like, we have an on-camera culture at Wayfair.
Gotcha.
I still have to go through the motions of looking decent when you get on camera.
Understood.
Okay.
What about
so
you,
for,
Sophia?
So, for me, I'm not going to be in pajamas, per se.
Yeah.
So, I do get up. I do put on maybe some sweats and a t-shirt. I won't have on like my, the attire that I wear to sleep. Because
yeah,
usually in the morning, I'm getting up, putting my kids on the bus. I don't wear pajamas to the bus stop.
Yeah.
I put on, you know, some type of casual loungewear.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And then if I have a meeting, I'll wear that if I'm not on camera. If I'm getting on camera, I'm quick to throw on something that maybe a company gave me, like a polo, or I am quick to do that.
Way out. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, so you, because you can't see anything below,
that's,
you know,
facts.
So
that's,
it's
facts.
Like, hey, it is what it is sometimes.
That's a fact. That's a fact. That's funny.
Yeah, so you asked the next question.
Yeah. So when it comes to, I know you mentioned travel, mm-hmm, right? So how does that dynamic work? Because I know your husband is military, right? My father was military. So I remember my dad, you know, he was going a lot. You know, that was one of the reasons that got me to Virginia when I was like 7 years old, was, you know, he got stationed here. Mm-hmm. And so with your demanding job, you have obviously two daughters,
yeah,
that you're very active in. You mentioned, you know, soccer practice, soccer games and stuff on the weekends. How does that dynamic work? How are you able to go to ball? Like, how are you able to time stuff up? Or like, what exactly does that look like when it comes to the balance of being somebody that's in leadership,
mm-hmm,
like you are, you know, having to travel, mm-hmm, frequently, and then having your daughters, having your husband who can potentially, because he's Navy, right?
Yeah.
He can go out to sea for months at a time. Mm-hmm. Like, how does that work?
So I always feel like I've been super fortunate and blessed in that regard, because I've traveled probably the last 10 years of my career.
Mm.
And so when he is on deployment at Dollar Tree, one of the things I always appreciate about them, they would work with me in regards to, by the time I had a team, if something was happening, my team could go.
Okay.
Like, my team could go and report back. If it was something sensitive in nature, I would go, and typically how I'm really funny about my kids.
Yeah.
So we would fly somebody home. Like,
okay.
Fly somebody here, a family member, my best friend, somebody I trust with my kids to be overnight.
Yeah.
And if it's something that's super sensitive that they need me and they're not able to give me enough notice, at one point in time, they actually even offer, they're like, hey, I know we're asking you outside of it. And like, we'll actually pay for your parents to come here.
Mm.
And so
I appreciated
that, because I had never even imagine that would be an extension ever.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
at Wayfair, because my husband's been on shore duty but about to go back to ship, we rotate kind of. I look at his schedule. We have a calendar about what my travel is, what his travel is. And we try to, like, alternate where we're going to be here.
Yeah.
If it comes down to both of us are going to go, we do the same thing. We kind of fly a family member in to watch our kids.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Yeah,
it's tough.
Yeah,
I mean, my husband's active duty, too.
Thank you for your service.
You
and
too.
His service.
Yeah, you too. So it's definitely tough, because right now he, and I don't really talk about it on the podcast that much because of safety issues, mm-hmm, but whenever he is gone, mm-hmm, you know, is having to balance everything.
Yeah.
You are the only person. You have to work. You have to do dinner. You have to go to practice. You have to be there for them during their, you know, personal times, you mm-hmm know. So it's definitely, we are not built. We built different.
We built different. I commend you. My 5-year-old, my husband was on deployment when she came, and I can recall, I went into work that day. I thought, but I was going in, we were talking about my coverage plan because I wasn't supposed to deliver her until the following Tuesday.
Oh, so you broke out in labor like while you was at work?
I was like contracting, but I was actually thinking like, oh, these Braxton Hicks. Yeah. But I can recall right now on my cubicle, I still have a picture of it where I was writing like times on my cubicle of like, oh, I feel a kick here. Because I had a doctor's appointment that day.
Okay.
And I remember my vice president said, you're not coming back. I was like, yes, I am. I'll be back. We got to go over the coverage plan tomorrow. And literally that night.
You had the baby.
I had the baby. And so, you know, you're calling Red Cross. You're trying to let you, like, let them know to give a message to him that, hey, but I also had my daughter who was at the time 7. Mm-hmm. And I was going into the room having, like, you're having contractions, but I didn't want to scare her at the same time. So I called my friend here. I was like, hey, can you come get
her
and take me to the hospital, like, and literally 4 hours later, Aubrey got here.
That's crazy.
And so my husband calls, maybe if I deliver Aubrey at 1, he called at 3:00 in the morning. And his first thing is like, I hear we got a baby. Mm-hmm. And he in the middle of wherever he is at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I got a little crazy story of when I was young. So I have a younger sister. We're 8 years apart. And like I mentioned, my dad was, you know, military as well. So I remember when my dad wasn't here, like, you kind of the same thing, like you said, for my sister's birth, right? And so my dad had my sister, or my mom had my sister, I want to say like a month and a half, 2 months early. Mm-hmm. And so my thing when I was a kid was in the middle of the night, I would sleepwalk into my mom and my dad's room. And I would get in the bed with my mom. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was something I didn't even, every morning, every night I would go to sleep in my bed and I wake up in my mom, in my parents' bed. So it was just like weird. I didn't even know I was doing it, right? So I remember we had like a whole plan. My mom was like, if I break out in labor, the neighbor is supposed to like watch me. And then the other neighbor is supposed to like take her to the hospital and all that, right? We had like on the refrigerator. I was supposed to call certain people if she couldn't do this or whatever. You know, mind you, this is back in the mid 90s. You know what I'm saying? So I remember... I was sleepwalking. I got into the bed and the bed was wet. And this is like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, that Jay woke me up. I got to bed. That Jay woke me up. And I woke up. I looked my mom asleep. And I touched my mom. I said, Mom, you peed on yourself. And she was like, my water just broke. And then we were like, we had to immediately go into that plan. Yeah. She was like, go call so-and-so, go call this. And then they rushed her to the hospital. And, you know, she ended up having my little sister. So it was kind of a similar story, what you said or whatever. But it was crazy. I remember the whole situation. I was like, yo, like, everything was flying fast. Like, it was crazy. And then we ended up reaching out to my dad. And I talked to my dad because I guess my mom couldn't talk to him or whatever. So I talked to him. I was like, yeah, she here. She healthy. She here. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that was pretty cool. It was a good moment.
That is funny.
Yeah.
That's
funny. Your Sophia, was your husband here for the child's births?
Yeah. So the first time, so I had a C-section the first time I had my first baby. So the second time I was allowed to potentially have a VBAC. So I could either deliver vaginally or I can have another C-section and just plan it. So my initially I was trying to have a VBAC because I wanted to experience having a vaginal birth.
Yeah.
And they told me that he was getting ready to go underway. So I was like, sign me up for the C-section, please. Because then he didn't have to go.
Oh, and for I was real? Like, oh, so that's how it works?
Yeah, well, yeah, back because then? He would have been able to get off. Because in the eye of the Navy, it's like, well, the baby ain't here yet, so you can come out with us, you know.
Gotcha.
But
gotcha.
If I was able to give birth before they had to go out, I mean, everybody's replaceable. That's one thing about the Navy. I mean, and even in the civilian world, like, if something happens to you, you will be replaced.
Yeah, 100%.
And so, yeah, he didn't go out. I had the baby, and he went on leave. And at the time, I think, I want to say that was right when they started giving men maternity leave, so he was able to get maternity leave as well.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's what's up.
Yeah, that was the first time. And the second time, he was on shore duty, so I mean, he was getting off at 10 a.m.
Okay,
so he really was going in at 7, getting off at 10.
Yeah, that's crazy. So. I remember my dad used to do the same thing. Like, he would literally go to work dumb early, and then, like you said, he'll be home at like 10.
Home at breakfast.
Yeah, brunch. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that but was when crazy. They gone, they gone. That's
true. That's a trade off, right?
Yeah, that's a trade off for sure.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. The military life built differently, man.
Yes. It's not for the weak.
I could never. That was something that I guess because I saw my dad, you know, do that, which I mean, it helped and provided everything for me and my mom and my sister and even other family members. But I just wasn't built to be like out deployed and just kind of being at the mercy of you know, that type of situation. Like, I was like, look, I know a lot of people that going into the military really was like a great benefit. All the benefits that comes with it. Like, even now I'm looking at, like, you know, with us being a mortgage and real estate, I'm like, dang, I wish I had VA eligibility. Right. You know what I'm saying? I wish I could buy, you know what I'm saying, use a VA loan.
You know what, I ain't gonna lie. I wish I could go to TRICARE
as an adult. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's
shoot.
What I wish I had. Yeah, I wish I had, like, disability.
Yeah, yeah, I'm like, look, shoot. Yeah, I wish I had all of that. So yeah. I would have probably, if I had known what I know now, I would have probably went into, like, the reserves or something like that when I was, like,
exactly.
younger. You know what I mean? So I can, like, get those benefits, go out once a month, you know what I'm saying, kind of do it that way. Or even just, like, go active duty. You know, for 4 years when I was younger, you know, maybe right out of college or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Before you start having kids. Yeah, before and stuff I started like having that, kids, yeah. stuff like that.
And, you know, really have a plan behind it, that type of thing. But yeah, that military life different, man. I'll
sure
be hearing all
is.
These stories and just living it. I was like, man, it's crazy. It's crazy.
All right, so I got a good question for you. What advice would you give to our listeners when it comes to transitioning careers? So if you have a person that's in one career, and they've built a certain skill set with that career, but now they want to just switch gears and move on to something new.
I think the biggest thing I would say in this job market right now is, like, you really want to do your research on what skills you currently have that are transferable,
okay.
specifically, especially in the industry that you're trying to get into.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, I'm not going to say the market is definitely not saturated, but I think it is selective because companies are just, like, a little bit reluctant to hire based off the macro economy. And so if you're looking to transition over into a new industry, what transferable skills do you have that you can say that you want to highlight even in your resume? Because you kind of got one shot to mm-hmm. make it, like, hit. And I would say, I tell people to at least have two resumes, one that highlights the profession that you're currently in and the profession that you want to be in.
Okay.
And then make sure, like, the things that you put as accomplishments correlate over to where you want to make a break into that.
Mm.
And even, I know this, even pro bono experiences that you can get are super beneficial as well, because you can see a material that
give an example, because I know what pro bono means, but some people might not know what that means. So give an example of what you mean by that.
So if I am in human resources and I wanted to make a break into real estate, before I even do the real estate license or anything of that nature, going to, or understanding it, it makes sense though. Like, hey, I know Sophia, I know Brian. Hey, can I sit? I know I can't show homes, but can I kind of sit with you? Can I print material out? Can I go place signs? Just something that lets me know what the experience is. Can I even sit in on some conversations that you all may have? It's a time investment. You're not getting paid for it, but like the residual and the ROI on that is, hey, you have experience about what it looks like. So even that, when you're highlighting or presenting yourself to for an opportunity, you have some familiarity of what you were talking about because you've been in the room. And I think some people don't necessarily value experience enough when it comes to the things that you're not getting paid for, but the things that you want to break into.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and Sophia have actually had a question. I mean, I had a conversation about experience. But I was going to ask you a question because what you said really made me think. So in that scenario, like you said, doing things pro bono, you know, we call it, like, you know, following someone, you know, shadowing them or whatnot. Would that be something that you would include on your resume? Like, so like you said, in that situation that Sophia mentioned where you're transferring fields, you know, it's not like necessarily a job that you work. So typically most people think your, you know, your resume needs to be packed with, you know, your actual employers mm-hmm. or employments that you did. But if you're, you know, doing what you said, shadowing somebody maybe for a couple of months or however long it is to gain that experience to be able to transfer into that field, is that something that you would actually add to your resume?
Yep. I would put it in an additional experience perspective.
Okay.
Because I like the things that people are going to call, I know people don't believe that people are calling references at this point in time,
but
I think they're doing reference checks in just a different cloak and dagger way.
Yeah.
And so because most industries, the connections are much smaller than what you think, at least being able to reach out to people and say, understanding kind of what role did they play.
Gotcha.
Specifically. And I think the other thing about when you're transitioning into something, typically people are transitioning roles or career paths because they have a passion for something that is different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think not getting weary in, oh, I've done this for 10 years and I automatically need to make this amount of money for something I have no experience in, just out the strength of, oh, I have 10 years of experience in a specific section sector of an industry. As I always correlate to, you may be entry level and need to kind of go in there and establish those building back blocks just like you did. So I also think like people have to kind of wrestle with that, but also understand like what's the prevailing piece that you want to come out. Like what, how do you define success in that space?
Yeah. All right, so I had a question again. So as far as with your role being, you know, global talent, you know, obviously that means you're looking and trying to, what exactly does that mean? Are you trying to like recruit and get people on board to Wayfair, or how does that look like on a day-to-day when it comes to, you know, your position, your role?
So now that I'm like more in a generalist capacity, when I think about recruiting, I think about it, not necessarily that I'm doing the recruiting, but informing the recruiting that the team does that supports my area of the business. And so my remit specifically includes like North America, Canada, but we also have like the EU, which is UK, Ireland, Poland, all of those areas. And so I own the end-to-end talent experience. So as we think about like Combo AI, specifically in the customer service department, as you think about Combo AI and all of those things, like I think about what are some of the efficiency gains that you're going to get. And when we think about like a labor model strategy, how do we think about like pulling back some of our staffing measures or adjusting them appropriately so that we're not having to like re-engineer anything?
Gotcha.
A lot of it also is like looking through employee contracts to figure out when we need to adjust those for peaks and valleys within the business. A lot of executive coaching, because the people leadership perspective, you know, I'm sure you all know, being employees, leading employees, it can be a unique dynamic, and no one individual, no two individuals are the same. And so we coach a lot on that, and even from an employee relations, anytime something significant happens, my team is being called, whether 9 o'clock on this past, we had like a self-harm situation, I may have an Ireland issue that comes up where we're trying to do a number of different things.
Yeah.
And so kind of going through that and guiding my team and guiding business leaders on what path we need to take to get those things done.
Gotcha.
Absolutely. All right. So switching gears, specifically looking at resumes, what are the top three things that you're looking for when you're combing through a resume?
I'm looking for, so I typically look at resumes at the director level. And me, like I would say, senior manager director level. And what I want to be able to understand is like, what did you own? And what were your deliverables? Like, how did you measure success and results? I think those, number one, I want a summary, because I would tell you, we're likely not looking at the entire resume. We're looking at the top paragraph of like that summarizes your experience.
Interesting.
Give me 5 bullet points of things that you have done in your career that says, hey, I know based off of what they put here, where I would deep dive my questions at. And I also think you need to kind of summarize. I want like 10 years, if you're going to put jobs on there, the last 10 years, if you have some like season on you, last 10 years, if you are somebody that's newer into the market, like maybe graduating college or something of that nature, it makes sense to put what leadership roles you held on campus.
Gotcha.
Or what you're doing.
Internships
doing
and stuff. Yeah.
Yes, all of those things. And I would say like from an education perspective, I always tell people, don't put where you graduated. That way people can't kind of like aid. Sometimes we have a habit of aging people. And so I got that tip a couple of years ago. And since then, I do not put when I graduated.
Oh, like, okay. So not where, but when. Like the year I graduated. Okay. All right. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So that so hold on. So
that leads you. Because then, you know, as a hiring manager, if someone said that they graduated in 1985.
Yeah. I was about to say the same. Yeah, that's crazy. 85. Yeah.
And on the reverse, some people are maybe older than the person coming in, don't want to be managed by somebody that's younger than them. Not saying that the person's experience is not relevant. Some people still harp.
That's actually a really good tip.
I don't want anybody that's in their 30s managing me if I'm in my 40s. And I don't. It's that's like a strange dynamic, but you.
That's a real thing.
That's a real thing.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
That is, especially for people who have been in that. I wouldn't say role, but in that environment, at that job for a long time, and they see someone come in and kind of like snatch the rug up underneath them, you know?
Yeah.
So I definitely get what you mean when you say that. All right. So when you're in process of interviewing people, right, we always know that there's these questions. They're specific. I mean, I think that when I was getting interviewed in my younger years, I think in every interview they ask these same questions, right? So What are your weaknesses is one of them. How do you, what advice would you give to the listeners about how to answer that question correctly?
I think to answer that correctly, you truly want to base it off of a skill that's still desirable. So I say, like, hey, it may be something that you're working on, but sometimes in the interview process, I've heard people say, you know, I'm struggling with my credit. And you're like, well, that's not relevant to the job itself. And these are like real examples.
Yeah, yeah,
and
you're
like, okay, that's not relevant to the job, but give me, you know, something else. Or, you know, I struggle getting up or coming to work on time. And you're like, you don't want to give
anything. Maybe saying stuff like that.
A negative impact on you getting hired.
I say structure something that even though you're working on it, it's still something that would be beneficial to a job. So I would say, like, hey, I'm a passionate individual. Sometimes delegation is something that I struggle with specifically. Like, I can get really passionate about the work that I own.
Mm-hmm.
And where you see, like, and you want to work on that because to continue to grow in your career, continue to get senior level roles, you need to be able to delegate. But it's also not something that would be a non-negotiable.
Correct.
Or somebody deciding to bring you on.
Correct.
I was like, be thoughtful and also prepare for that, because I do think there's, like, certain topical answers that people say.
Yep.
And you're like, hey, try to like, dig into this.
Because I think the way you answer that question, like you said, that... As again, I mean, you probably answer this better than me, but just knowing that and understanding in your response there, like the way a person answers that question, that can lend to show if they are prepared for the interview, right?
Yeah.
So they answer the question, even though it's a, you know, a very basic answer, you know, but it's the answer that you would want them to say, that you know that they were prepared for that type of question. So you understand that person, you know, at least prepares for the job at hand. You know what I mean? So that's something that's a skill that, you know, you would want to see in someone that you're looking to potentially hire.
Yes.
I got something funny to say.
Okay. That. Yeah. All right. So one, this will be the last question for me. So, you know, at the end of the interview, right, when the interview is almost over and the person who is conducting the interview says, well, do you have any questions for me? Do you expect a response and for them to have questions? And if they have them, what type of questions are you looking for them to ask you?
Absolutely. Actually, I determine somebody's seriousness about an opportunity if they have questions and the nature of the questions. And honestly, I try to coach people to actually even ask the questions as you are getting asked the question. Mm. As you answer it, ask the question. Ask a question back during the interview process so you're not just waiting on that last piece to get that question answered. And make it be something relevant to the role. Like, talk to me about how you all metricize success, or what will the onboarding process be like specifically?
Yeah.
And, like, what would you define the company culture at, or what makes people successful? And if there is something recent about the company that you has been in articles that kind of has been front and center, bring that to the table to say, hey, as you all, this went out about you all, like, how do you all maneuver that? What part does this department play in doing X, Y, and Z? Because I think it also, like, it's another part that even though you're also getting graded on that part of the interview process as well about how much homework
I think what happens sometimes in interviews is people kind of put their guard down at that very end. Once all the questions have been asked to them, they do put their guard down. And so, like you said, you're still, by them asking you questions, you're still grading. Like, you're still, you know, figuring out if that's somebody, you know, and by them either saying yes or no, or the level of question they ask, I mean, they're still being, you know, interviewed, I guess you could say, during that time. So that's good stuff.
And you hit on a good point. I always remember you are still being interviewed.
Yes.
Sometimes I think people believe their personalities are going to get them the job, so they laugh more than they answer the question. So I try to tell people, like, hey, balance that out now.
Yeah.
I get that you're saying, like, we want you to lean in and be comfortable so we can see the personality of the person as well, but that will not sell you to get the job.
Correct.
So still answer first communication, show a bit of your personality in there, but I love my sister. Hey, Tasha. when we do interview prep, she's laughing. I was like, you have to stop this. Like, you got to answer questions.
She's trying to laugh through that joint, yeah.
I think it's a
naturally her nervous reaction. Yeah, it's a natural emotion in those situations.
Yeah,
that's crazy. I got a little quick funny story, man, because like Sophia said, I haven't got interviewed in at least not a formal interview in a long time, right? And so I remember coming out of college, I was trying to work at this company. I'm not gonna say the name of the company, but it was in mortgage, and it was a sales position, right? That's what we do. We sell mortgages, right? And so I remember I prepared myself for this interview, man. I sat down, I did everything, you know, how I knew to do, right? And it was a brother actually that was interviewing me too, which was pretty cool. You know what I'm saying? And so I remember he asked all the questions, and I know I killed that interview, did great. And like you said, I let my guard down, right? So right before we was about to leave, my man had a pen. He slid it across the table and was like, "Hey, Brian, sell me on the reasons why I need to buy that pen." And I choked. I didn't know what to say. I just froze up because, like you said, in my mind, the interview had already finished. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, I looked at the pen. He slid it to me. I looked at it. I was like, "It's blue." And that's what? It. Because I you don't understand. Like, I was, like, I had so prepared myself.
Yeah.
So once, like, I was done and I knew I did a great job, like, I was getting out of my chair and he slid this pen across the table and he was like, "Sell me on why I need to buy this pen." Yeah. And I just looked at the pen. I was stuck. And I knew I could not say nothing. And it was a blue pen. I was like, "It's blue." And he started laughing, right? And so I'm like, so I was so messed up. I went home, man. I was like, man, I know I didn't get that job. Because that's the last thing to happen. Even though I did very well the whole time, that was the last, like, last impression. That's the last thing he's going to remember. I ended up getting the job, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which was dope. And we had me and the guy, because he didn't call me. He was actually my direct manager who interviewed me, right? And so, like, once I actually got hired on, like, I had a conversation with him about that. He was like, "Nah, man, that's..." He was like, you had already got the job up to that point, man. He was like, I tried to just, to, you know, throw something at you to see how you would handle it, you know, or whatever. But, you know, just kind of piggybacking off of what you said. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I don't think that I would have been nervous, too, in that particular circumstance.
Yeah.
Because, one, for me, in order for me to sell something, I have to believe in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you tell me to sell a pen, I'm going to look at you like, I'm too literal for that.
Yeah.
Like, I would...
yeah, and I was like 20, I was like 22, 23 at the time. So I was like, I mean, literally, like, I was stuck. Like, I was so prepared. And I was like, "Yeah, man, I was about to turn around, call my mom. Like, I'm about to get this job." He was like, "Sell me this pen." I'm like, my brain was just like, going crazy. So, yeah.
And interviews are getting like trickier. So I was like, I always say prepare for like the things that are not in the normal course state.
Yeah.
I don't even think there's a set of questions out there, like, which I think the normal set of questions are like, they're now no longer.
They're not, because they're not normal anymore.
I mean, it's good that they're changing it up, because I swear you can literally Google. Like, that's what I did when you guys went. I was like, what are those questions that I was talking about? Google them, right?
Yeah.
And then you can see other people's responses and kind of pick from them and figure out how you would like to respond, you know?
Yeah.
But I do know that sometimes actually doing that type of research also helps, because it gets you prepared. It gets you thinking like you haven't been thinking in the last few years, especially if you're actively working a job. Because unfortunately, every job is going to be different than how it's presented on paper.
Yeah.
1,000%. Yeah. 1,000%. And I think you should gain access to, like, look at questions, look at, I say, Fishbowl, look at Glassdoor, look at Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
All of those are resources that people are verified to have worked at these companies. So look at those experiences, even base some of your questions off of those, like, things that you're seeing in those chat that people are saying about the company, they're talking about their experiences as well.
Absolutely.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's good stuff, man. You drop some gems today, man.
Yeah.
Shoot, I got a job. I just want to go out and try to find another job, just so I feel like I'm better prepared now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Jeez.
But with that, I do want to be able to, like, put this in there. LinkedIn is your best friend at this point in time. You have access to, even outside of just the job postings. You see a job, you want to apply to it, but also do a search on LinkedIn and see who the recruiter is for that company.
Mm.
Send them a message. And I typically would craft a message, couple of sentences, highlight a couple of things, and send that message.
Mm-hmm.
If you hear back, you hear back. If you don't, you don't.
Yeah.
But the companies that I wanted to get to when I did pressure tests, I used that approach. Did not even know the recruiter, had not met them before, introduced myself through their LinkedIn messaging.
Mm-hmm.
And that's literally how I got back 4.
Mm. Oh, wow. So how do you, now fraud is just so high, mm-hmm. right? And I've even experienced this in the past 6 months or so, where a recruiter reached out to me and it ended up being fraud and it wasn't even a real person. Mm-hmm. And good thing I have that corporate mindset. So I definitely went to LinkedIn to see, you know, if this person exists, who was it linked to. I started asking like them questions that I knew that they couldn't answer. But not everybody is really connected on LinkedIn. Not everybody is wise in that perspective. So how do you get over these different obstacles?
I think that's the biggest thing. I think you have to really actually think about what's coming through on your inbox. If it looks too good to be true, it looks kind of like soliciting, mm-hmm. almost has that body. I think the best thing you can do is, even if you don't have LinkedIn, do a Google search of the person. It will pull up. If they have a LinkedIn, it'll pull up the LinkedIn profile. It'll pull up if they're a recruiter for this organization or not. Because the organizations also scrub LinkedIn to say, like, no, this person does not work for us as well. So you just want to make sure. And for some reason, like, I am terrified of being scammed. And so I always Google if there are scams going around in the same sense. So I always say do your homework, especially, like, if sales. I've seen a lot of that happen in, like, sales environment, customer service environments, call center environments, to make sure that you are doing your due diligence, especially if you're not going through a recruiting process. Don't just give your Social Security, because we're not asking for anybody's Social Security number on the application. Nobody's doing that.
Correct.
So I just want to make sure, like, people are doing that, like, you've actually had a conversation and verified, did the homework on that.
We got a lot of that in our in real estate and mortgage, what we do. I mean, we have a lot of that. Like, when somebody closes on closes on a home, you'll get, because it's public information, it gets recorded down at the courthouse. Like, they'll get, like, mailers saying, hey, you know, you forgot to do this, you know, send us $85 for this deed, you know, so we can record it correctly. And you got people that are preying on those people, and they that's just like schemes and scams that they got going on, man, which is crazy. But I mean, that's just, you know.
It's funny, because my husband had a family member who almost had a rent fraud. So they had went out, somebody allowed them to go in the house and look at the home. They were getting ready to put a deposit, but then the person kind of, like, started getting kind of funny with the communication. So I was like, well, who is the person that you're speaking with? And then I went and looked up the house. When I looked up the house, it was a business name. So then I went and looked up the business and see who owned it. And come to find out, the whole thing was a scam, and it was someone just, they knew that the house was vacant, and they were acting or pretending to be the owner.
To, like, they were going to rent out.
And they were going to get the deposit. And they just kept having
people deposits and then never,
and
like,
never renting out.
That is wild. That is wild. That is
so
wild.
So fraud can come in any manner. You just have to be careful. You really do.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah. That's tough. And real quick, before we wrap up, I just wanted to have you talk or just mention, I know you mentioned earlier, you said that you actually went to school initially for real estate, right? So I know there's a level of, you know, liking or love for real estate. I've helped Lakeisha purchase, you know, the house that they currently live in now. Like, what about real estate is something that you like and things that you maybe want in the future want to kind of dive in when it comes to real estate?
I think I like, number one, I love the aesthetic of homes. Even right now, if it's an open house, I'm going to it. And I've been that way since I have literally been that way probably since I was 19.
And
from home, like, if I was coming home, if I see an open house, my best friends right now hate me. Like, why do you keep signing up for all of these places? You know you're not buying a house, or you're not in the market about it. I was like, I just like looking at them.
Y'all, real quick, I'm like that too. Like, it's funny. Like, I'll go, like, anytime, like, I go out of town, go somewhere, I'm always looking for an open house in that area so I can check out, like, you know,
the real estate.
Like, I mean, literally, it could be, you know, anywhere. Like, country, you know, domestic, not, whatever. But yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And so, doing that, and then also, like, I interned for two women when I was in undergrad that did real estate specifically. And I actually, like, just the process of giving somebody something that I know, I'm really particular about what people lay their heads at when it comes to my investment properties. Like, I don't want to be a slumlord. And I also realize, like, depending on, like, the threshold of the income, everybody should have a safe space for their kids to come home to, something that's decent, something that works, and things of that nature. And so I think it has now kind of flipped over into, while I love the aesthetic piece of it from one perspective, I also love being able to say, hey, this is a safe place that I'm providing to families. And I typically get most excited when kids come in and see, like, what room they, like, they're picking out the room after you qualify their family, and you hear so many stories. And if I could have 100 of them, it would be great. But it's also, like, a means. Corporate is a
man.
It's a grind. It's a, like, corporate America is, it's somebody I heard this podcast before, and it's like they akin corporate America to kind of like prison when you think about, like, who's the head honcho and prison controls the prison. And I was like, it's a very interesting analogy. But it's also like a means to an end.
Yeah.
You want to be able to do something where you don't take up more time.
Correct.
Because time is something that you don't get back.
100%.
And being a mom, I want to be able to be fully present in this moment and protective of why I have it. So because I already have one demanding career, it gives me something that I can do passively, but something that also provides me enjoyment.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's dope, man. Yeah. That's dope, man. Well, I appreciate you coming through today, Lakeisha. I mean, you dropped a lot of gems, a lot of good information. Like I said, you put the battery in my back. I want to go apply for a job tomorrow because I feel like I'm going to get it now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've been so far removed from being in that space. I feel like the information you shared today is definitely going to equip
people. Can I ask one more question for the people? I'm sorry.
Oh, you're good. You're good. What you got?
Resume writing. Mm-hmm. Is there a specific platform that you would suggest to the listeners on where to get assistance with writing their resumes?
I say ChatGPT.
Okay.
Go to ChatGPT.
So AI taking over.
Any skills that you want to put down, ChatGPT will articulate for you and really write you a paragraph. Like, you need to finagle it or, like, make sure you finagle it a bit to make sure it's reflective of what you truly did. Because correct. If it's not, it will come through in an interview. I think some people say that too. So I'm like, you know that's why. Yeah. We can tell who did not do the job. But maybe ChatGPT is people's best friend at this point in time. It's even how you write performance evaluations. You look at a skill and you say, hey, I want all of these to translate. And so I would say that is the one, especially if you don't have, like, right now the means to go to a professional resume writer. ChatGPT is your best friend.
That's dope. All right. That's dope.
Well, I feel like today you gave so much information for people who are looking to transition, looking to get hired for the first time. So I think that it was good info. Thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
I appreciate it, Keisha. Like I said, I know you're a very, very busy person. So for you to come bless the podcast, man, was great. So I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Are you off today?
No. I push meetings back, so I actually got to get back to the grind.
Okay. Yeah.
She made time for us. I love that.
Now I really feel good. Right.
Nah, but that's good, man. Obviously, we appreciate Lakeisha coming through. We normally talk a little bit of BS, but I feel like, man, today we really went into some really, really good information. So I think we'll kind of just leave it at that. We'll save the BS for next week.
Yeah. So we will see you guys next week.
Yep. See you next week.
All right.
Thank you.